All right. Well, hey, so let me just kind of tee up what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have some people, first, we're going to have some people share from the book of Acts some of the themes that have stuck out to them. And then after that, I'm going to give us a real quick primer for the fast. So we have worked our way through the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts together, and this has been a study that we've been doing together. People, the teachers have been teaching the book of Acts from up front, but you've been reading it and studying it and talking about it in your home groups. And so tonight is this time just to hear what's been going on in the home groups. But let me kind of talk to you about what the premise is of our teaching series. The book of Acts is the institution of the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And we see the Holy Spirit just descend on the people of God as they come together in one accord, right? And the Holy Spirit begins to do these amazing works of bringing them together, establishing the church, being a witness, and we see the gospel of Jesus Christ supernaturally by the power of God working in his people begin to spread across the earth. It is a phenomenal, amazing story. It is the great story. It is God's story developing in the earth. And one of the things that we're trying to really emphasize is we are part of that story. That story of God's church being indwelled by the Holy Spirit and people being miraculous witnesses of who Jesus Christ, that is going on here today. That's our lineage. What we see going on in the book of Acts is what we should be seeing today in Lexington as the Holy Spirit fills us up. Can you say amen to that? So what we're trying to do is, as a church, let's step into this story. Let's immerse ourselves in this story so God can bring us revelation of what his church is really supposed to be like, okay? So with that said, we've got some folks that want to share some things. Rodney, would you kick us off and we'll kind of work our way down the line here? Awesome.
So while I've been reading through the book of Acts, I guess one of the things that stood out to me is all the times where people were praying and then stuff happened, like all kinds of things. And so, I don't know, for the last week or more, I've kind of been going through all the times in the book of Acts where people have been praying and just kind of studying that. And it is a lot. Like if you look through all those times and where they're praying or seeking God, you know, sometimes they use a little bit different words, but it's a lot. And the amount of things that happen is wild. So I just wanted to share a handful of verses here and a couple thoughts. And so I'll just go ahead and start reading those. So believers receive guidance through prayer. That's Acts 1:24. It says, "And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen." So God, you know, chose right there who was going to be, you know, in leadership position. The church empowered through the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31. "And then they had prayed. The place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Acts 6:6. "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." Acts 8:15. "Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit?" And there was a lot of this type of one here. To cut that down a little bit. It says God sending his servants in response to other people praying. Acts 10, Cornelius prayed and God responded with a vision and sending Peter to share the gospel. Peter received the revelation that he should carry the gospel to the Gentiles also while he was in prayer on the other end of that. There's a lot of this next type. The dead are raised, the sick are healed through prayer. Like, just look at that sometime. It's a ton. Acts 9:40. "But Peter said to them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." And, you know, she was given back to the family. Acts 28:8. "It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, putting his hands on him, and healed him." Prisoners are freed. that happened multiple times as well, in addition to some people, you know, being killed too. Acts 12, Peter's freed from prison. Acts 16, 25 to 26, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. And then, you know, the guard's whole family comes to Christ through that. There are many prayers also, I just noted, during the missionary journeys. There are many prayers anointing people for service. There were prayers before the shipwreck. There were prayers during these imprisonments. Stephen was praying or speaking, you know, when he was dying, asking God to forgive them. And just kind of final thoughts. In addition to all these types of prayer that we see there, as we're coming up to the time of prayer and fasting, as Matt and the other leaders have been encouraging us to prepare our hearts, I just wanted to encourage you, in addition to lifting up your own needs, the church's needs, take time and lift up the mission work that's going on out in the field. There's the work going on in Mexico, so just encourage you to pray for Pedro, Guille, and the whole church in Ayutla. And also to remember to be lifting up the Sleeths doing the mission work on Pemba. And, you know, just I was just so encouraged by reading all this and going over and doing the study that God really does work through prayer. It's not always how we expected, but that's, you know, it's very changing to both the people praying and what you're praying for.
Well, there's actually a couple of things that I got out of, have been getting out of Acts. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is the fact that the apostles did not fully understand what had happened when Jesus was crucified and resurrected until the Holy Spirit came. I think we see that clearly when Jesus was, after his resurrection, when he was with them for that 40 days. One of the things they asked him is it was in Roman or in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they say, Is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they still had that mindset that Peter had before Jesus was crucified, when he was telling Jesus, you know, when he was rebuking Jesus for saying that he was going to die. You know, he said, no, you're not going to die. You're the Messiah. There's no way you're going to die. You're going to lead us into victory over the Romans. Well, he didn't exactly say that, but that was the attitude that they had. And they still had that even after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost that they really got the whole idea. It was like the scales came off of their eyes and they saw. And of course, that day Peter went out and preached that mighty sermon where 3,000 people were saved. But it really emphasizes the role that the Holy Spirit plays in all our lives. We need to allow him to minister to us and to speak to us, because of course Jesus said he will bring back to you the words that I have spoken, and he will show us exactly what's going on. And the second thing that I wanted to share was that reading all that was going on in the early church, it parallels so well with what we have been going through as a church since we started. Just like them, we are learning how to do church. We wanted, when we first started way back in the 1970s, when we were just a student Bible study, our emphasis was we needed to seek God and find out how we are supposed to do church. We needed to seek God through prayer, through the scriptures, and through fellowship, and learn how we are supposed to do church. We're not supposed to follow old traditions, dead traditions, or things like that. We are supposed to seek God. That's how every church is supposed to be. We are supposed to seek God and find out from Him through prayer, through the scriptures, and through fellowship how He wants us to do church. And that's what we have been doing this whole time, ever since then. And, you know, we're going through a hard time right now, and we're still doing that. We're seeking God and finding out how He wants us to deal with this and how He wants us to do how He wants us to do church.
So I was really struck by one of the sermon on Acts 12, the sermon that Matt Hellman preached a couple weeks ago. And I don't know if I could tell you everything that it meant to me, but I wrote down in my journal kind of some of the things that it meant to me, and so I'm just going to read that. But there's some people here that I don't know, and there's some people who don't know this about me, but me and my husband have been trying to have children for about 3.5 years, a little more than 3.5 years. That's been not the only thing in our lives, but a big, big part of our lives. And I'll reference IVF. IVF is a very time-consuming, expensive, emotional procedure that you can have done to try to have kids. So this is what I wrote the day after Matt Hellman's teaching. Last night, Matt Hellman spoke on Acts 12, where James is killed with a sword and Peter is imprisoned and dramatically saved. We sang, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me." We also sang "Awesome God," which I suggested before we lost our embryos. I was struck by how awesome our God is when He created two lives in a petri dish. And I still believe He is awesome now, after those two lives are lost. We put an insane amount of money and time and energy into doing a round of IVF in Tennessee 2 weeks before the sermon. We learned a few days before it that none of our embryos survived. But Matt Hellman taught us that there are no crises, no matter what it looks like. God is sovereign, and there are no crises. We had a failed round of IVF, but that is not a crisis in God's kingdom. God is sovereign, and if I know He is good, I know He can write not a good story, but the best story. I looked around the church from the stage, singing that God is so good, and I saw so many miracle babies. Some even came from IVF. The devil could steal my joy by saying that I deserve God to work in my life, just like He did to make those children. But God planned that James would be killed with a sword and that Peter would be saved. It was Peter, and now me, to whom Jesus said, "If he is to remain until I come, what is that to you? If someone else is to have their life blessed in a way that you want but is not your story, what is that to you? Come follow me." The devil will try to steal my joy by putting my family or a dream in the center of my life instead of Jesus and His bride. But God's sovereignty is a blessing of peace to me because He is good, because He is a good story writer, because He is completely in control of my life, because He called my babies home and He will raise them without pain and evil. Because on this earth, I am right where I need to be in my story. I give up putting my dreams before Jesus. I give up trying to make happen what God has already promised He'll bring to pass. I give up wishing to be the same as others in the kingdom, and I accept my destiny in the kingdom. And I accept the peace that comes knowing that God is good and He is all powerful. I give up worrying of trying to do what God is not doing. I will work with all my might to do in the Spirit what He has for me now.
But can you stay here? I think we need to pause our teaching time, sharing time for a second. That's just an amazing expression of faith. And we all love you guys very much. So I think we should stop and pray for you guys just here. Christian, would you come up to? This is something that's on my heart too, because my family went through this too. So what I would like to do is, if you all have faith, if anybody has faith, and you would like to come down here and lay a hand on this amazing couple, I want to invite you to come, and we're just going to pause our sharing time, and we're just going to pray over them right now, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bless the faith that is in their hearts and their dependence on Jesus. So here comes the family of God right here, and we are together in the name of Jesus. And so I'm gonna open us. Victor, would you? I can't pray yet. Can you open us in prayer? I'm gonna collect myself and then I'll pray right after you. And if anybody else wants to pray, just you raise your hand.
Lord, I can't say that this also isn't part of my own story and Olga's story, Lord. And you've come through in miraculous ways, in most unexpected ways, Lord. And I'm so encouraged, Father, to hear the faith that's just bursting out of Catherine's heart, Lord. That encourages us, Lord. It proves, God, how powerful and mighty you are, Lord, that even in the midst of heartache and pain, God, you are glorified and you will have the glory on the last day. And you will have it today in Jesus' name, God. And we just lift them up in prayer, God. And we ask, God, on their behalf, God, bless them during this time. Bless them with kids. Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. God, and during this time that Satan wouldn't sow doubt or fear or anxiety, Lord, that they would just learn to rest in you in Jesus.
Lord God, I just agree with that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would honor this faith, God. That you would honor this faith, God. Lord, that their dependence on you, Lord God, their hearts, that you would be glorified over everything else. You promise us, God, when we seek you first, God, you take care of everything else, God. Your will comes about in our lives when we seek you first, Lord God. And so I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, just as a church together, we speak fruitfulness on this family, God. We rebuke the enemy, anything that is physically out of line, God. We ask that you would line it up in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you on the cross died for us. You defeated the powers of death and sin. And so we speak life into this family, God, as they trust you, Jesus. And we say together as a church family, amen. All right. Praise God.
Matt Henderson shared on October the 4th from the book of Acts. And part of it was about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And you shared about going down the road. It says, this is ESV version. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So on Monday following that, I was on campus handing out invitations for Dan Eaton's Bible study. Bill Hughes and I have done that this year. And I think I left local Taco when I was turning right, heading towards campus. And I heard the words in my heart, in my mind, "Go across the street." So I didn't have an angel tell me, as far as I know, to go down to the road. I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to go across the road to the street, across the street. So I did that. I remembered your sermon, and I remembered the word of the Lord. And I've been trying to be really faithful to really hear you know, God speak. And if I think there's a chance that it's God, I'm just going to try to do it. And so I've been dialed in. So I go across the street, and I look towards campus, and here comes a guy walking down the street. So I invited him to the Bible study, and I just happened, and that's a great way to start talking to people, you know, just handing that to them. They'll open up sometimes. And I said, so how you doing? His name was Alex. And he said, actually, I've fallen away from my faith, and I'm depressed, which was, you know, nice that somebody's opened up their life, right? So I just really just, it kind of just hit me like, okay, this is, you know, the divine moment. And so I got his name, I prayed for him and encouraged him. And God has a great sense of humor. So I invited him to go to a football game. Well, little did I know that he's from Houston, Texas, and he's a Texas fan. So I got to take my friend to a Kentucky-Texas game in Lexington, and he goes to our tailgate and has a Texas shirt on. Well, my friends, they're not happy. But anyway, they'll get over that. So he goes and he sits with me. He has his Texas shirt on. He handled it quite well. I barely handled it because we got beat. But we became friends. We are becoming friends. He will text me about, you know, NFL games. So it's been kind of fun because of all the times I think I've shared. This guy, I feel like he's my friend. And so we're, you know, we're texting. We're supposed to have lunch coming up before Thanksgiving. But then I realized that, you know, nothing at least like this happened in his life. So yet, anyway. And I know that God's at work, and, you know, I've prayed for him. But I got to the point, and I realized, you know, something else needs to happen, you know. And it dawned on me today, it was you all praying for him. It was us as a team praying for him. You know, I know that God, like in this situation with Philip, God can move powerfully. But I think at this point, as Rodney brought up the mission field with UK, we need to really pray. You know, that's how God's going to move. It's not going to be, you know, somebody, one guy, or just a small group of people necessarily handing out tracts. And we know that God's word's powerful, but it's going to be the church that's going to rise up and pray. And so, of course, I want to encourage all of us to share the gospel. And if you hear God tell you to do something, go share, you know. But especially at this time coming up, I just want to encourage us to, just like the early church did, to go up into our upper room. To go up. We need God. We need God for our own lives. We need God for campus. We need God in the Dominican. We need God all over the world, you know. And that's how he's going to move. It's going to be us as a team working together, seeking him, and really crying out for the Holy Spirit to move and for God to change our lives and to change people's lives on campus. So, and everywhere, really. And so I thought it was really cool because it happened right after. And man, it was like, and as soon as God was like, go across the street, I was like, Matt Henderson said that as God's word, I am going across the street. But as time goes on, I just realized that we need God. You know, nothing good is going to happen unless God does it. And it's a perfect time for us to come in and go into our fast to really get serious and pray and pray and pray. Amen.
So actually, it works pretty well to go right after Kurt, because mine was kind of a theme over a few sermons and in Acts, just with the church seeking the Holy Spirit. In the very beginning, they go out and they do what he said to do. And then Philip hears, and he doesn't just walk over to the Ethiopian eunuch, he runs. And so it's been on my heart, and I'm kind of coming out of I have a 5-week-old, so I've been a little bit in the sleep deprivation fog, but I'm coming out of it, and I'm remembering, and I'm wanting to press into the Holy Spirit. We need to press into the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to just like, are you sure, God? Is that really what you're saying to do? But I want to run like Philip did and walk in the confidence and the power like Peter and John did when they said, rise and stand and walk to the lame man at the gates, so.
The same sermon that Catherine was talking about really ministered to my spirit too. And I think I'll just read Isaiah 55. The thing that struck me in Matt's sermon was the phrase or the words that he said, the gospel never experiences crisis. And that was like a huge relief to me and a huge, just one of those moments where you've heard it a lot, but then for some reason, the Spirit kind of moves upon you, and you're like, oh, no, it has never experienced crisis. Our hope in Christ never fails or runs out. So I'll just read Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it birth forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Yeah, I didn't have something to share from Acts, but just as we've been going through Acts, I've just been reading Psalms and other passages, but there was something from Psalm 84 that really struck me this week, and I thought it would be a good thing to share. So this is Psalm 84, verse 1. It's, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And in that phrase, just as I was meditating and thinking on that psalm, the question came out of my mind, like, where's the dwelling place of God? What is the dwelling place of God? Like, the psalmist is declaring this, and I also need to be agreeing with him, how lovely is your dwelling place? And there's definitely, one of the answers, obviously, is very much in our times of prayer and meditation. God comes and meets with us. But another thought came specifically of the way that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that each one of us as a Christian is the dwelling place of God. And it brought a joy to me to think about my brothers and sisters in this congregation and the way that when I talk to my brothers and sisters here, I do get to experience parts of God. I get to see the Holy Spirit in the other people that are with me. And I get to see different things about God in each of us. God's adorned his house. He's adorning each of our houses differently. And our different personalities and the way that Christ has sanctified each of us is different. Like I think about the people in this room and the giftings that Christ has sanctified and adorned his house with. Like there's certain things I think about Bill and his pastoral heart and the way he's been a friend to me. And I think about the way God's adorned his house in that. And I think about Matt and the way that he's such a positive guy. You know, that's something God's adorned his house here among us. I think about Amber and the way she's just so lovely and sweet to me. And that's something that the Holy Spirit has brought out and sanctified. And that's such a gift in a way that I can see God in her. And it brings such a joy to me. And so my encouragement to the church in that is, you know, if in your times of going to God, if you feel dry, if you are feeling like you can't meet with him, look to your brother and sister and look at the sanctification and the Holy Spirit in them. Look to see how lovely is your dwelling place in your brother and sister in Christ, because God is doing a work in them, and he wants to show you himself in those around you.
Awesome. Super encouraging. And did anybody have anything that is just stirring up in your heart before we move on from the book of Acts? Don't want to close the door on this yet. It's really good. Okay. All right. Praise God. So we're up to chapter 15 in the book of Acts. This week we're going to begin our annual fast where we're going to be seeking the Lord together corporately for vision and direction for our church. And then after the fast, we're going to take a four-week break leading in to Christmas. We're going to do the four Advent, somebody help me, joy, peace, hope, and love. So we're going to cover those four themes. The teaching team is going to do that. And then we'll pick up with Acts again at the beginning of the year. I'm super pumped. This thematic teaching series is going to be great. But let's talk about what's before us. I want to tell you a little bit about our plans for our fast for this year. Most of you have done this many times, so I'm repeating stuff that you've already heard, but let's all go over it together. So this is the game plan for our fast. It's going to be a three-day fast, water only, okay? This is the vision for the fast, okay? Everybody's getting worried here. You don't have to do that, okay? One thing I would tell you is check with a doctor before you do any of this. Make sure there are physical things that could, and Thomas is here, he can point you in the right direction, but there are some reasons why this would not be a good idea physically for you. But that's just kind of the idea that we're doing this around. You can do whatever you want. But we encourage you to give something up to seek the Lord together with the people of God. It may mean skipping dinner every week, or it may mean for you getting rid of any media or something like that. Something else along these lines, God is doing a really cool work amongst our children. We've had a lot of young baptisms over the last month. Parents, we want you to invite them into the fast in some way, okay? Have them give something up to participate in it. And church, I just want you to realize we've got some people doing their first fast after baptism, okay? So keep these young kids in your hearts. People would be like Joy and Jacob just got baptized, right? Lainey, Piper just got baptized, and then Laurel and Tucker just got baptized. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so. So keep them in your heart. If the Lord might want to speak something to them through you, I would love that if you could do that for my kids. Okay, so we're going to kick the fast off Wednesday night. So after dinner Wednesday night, we're going to begin our fast. We're going to have a 7 o'clock joint meeting here at King's Church, okay? So everyone's invited to come kick off together. We'll pray for an hour together, and then we'll fast through until that will be Saturday night. And then we'll gather here to break the fast together with communion at a different time than usual, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock rather than 6:30. You're going to be hungry, so we're giving you that extra half hour. We're going to cancel all home groups, okay? So you won't have your home group meeting that you usually have, but during the fast, home group leaders are encouraged to gather their people together to pray. Okay, I want to say this about what we're doing when we fast, okay? The Word of God is full of instructions for us when we fast and how to do that. What's the heart behind it? And I just really wanted to underline one thing tonight as we talk about this. I remember I worked at Lowe's and I was fasting way back in the day, and I was really complaining about it to my boss. And actually the Word of God tells us not to do that. But he was like kind of looking at me like, you really think that because you give up a bunch of food that God is going to, you know, do what you want him to do? And I was like, no, that's not exactly what the goal here is. But I just share that story to say, when we're fasting with God, we're not twisting his arm. It's not a transactional thing. We're not like, we're going to give up food for 3 days if you'll speak to us. Our God is our Father. This is a relational activity of pressing into him. So the goal behind fasting is to give things up, to quiet ourselves, to give up our anxiety and our fears and humble ourselves before the feet of God and to say, God, this is the big priority for you during this fast. God, I want to be in your presence where it's only you speaking to me. You're the only thing that I'm thinking about. And I want to make space for you to speak into my life about what your desire is for me and my family and the church. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say there? That's the goal. For these 3 days to be a time where you can push the world aside, push the flesh aside and the desires, and press into God. And I sense that this is really needed for us as a body right now. We need to let some of the noise, some of the emotions, some of the anxiety, some of the media and just music and television that is filling up our heads, and just be before God and let him speak. Let him do his thing as we humbly ask him to come speak to us. Okay, here's kind of the structure of what we'll be fasting for. First, we're encouraging everybody to fast for yourself, that God would give you vision and understanding, that he would show himself to you, that you would connect with God during this time. We want to be praying for our families, okay? Especially for moms and dads. Let's bring the family together during this time and experience God together to allow our family to be shaped by the Word of God and the experience of hearing God together. We also want to pray for our home groups. We've got some amazing home fellowships in this church. We want to be praying that God would begin to edify and strengthen and give vision to each one of our home groups. And then we want to pray for the church as a whole. So we want to be praying that God would give us vision for our church. Here's three specific themes that I want to share for us as a church this year as we enter into the fast. There'll be more. As we start praying and seeking God, he's going to be showing us more than this. But here's some things that I just really want to encourage you to think about. I think our teaching series through the book of Acts is really significant. And I think God wants to bring fresh, genuine revelation of what it means for the Holy Spirit to fill the church and us to be a witness in the earth. Okay? I think God wants to speak that in a fresh, new way to this church. Number two, we want to ask everybody, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, to be praying that God would provide our church with a pastor, specifically considering myself and Victor as interim pastors for the church, and then also praying for elders and deacons, that God would give our church more elders and deacons. And then the last one is just really, this kind of comes from the book of Acts, and some people mentioned it while they were up here. But one of the things that you see both in the upper room and then also in 15 and in many other places, it talks about when people were fasting, they were in one accord. And so there's this dynamic of seeking the Lord together, not just people off in pockets, you know, experiencing God on their own, but there's something really powerful about the people of God coming together and experiencing Him through fasting and prayer together and uniquely hearing the voice of God, the vision, the direction of God for them as a group, okay? And what we're speaking about here is unity and hearing the call and direction of God, okay? How awesome is it to hear God speak something over your life, but what if you had a vision of God speaking something corporately over a group of people? That's my desire. That's my great desire for this fast period, is that we would hear the word of God together, that it would be clear, and that we could run after it. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Yeah, I echo that, that God would give us a heart to see people come to know Jesus. That's one of the major visions of this church, is that we would be witnesses of who Jesus is. And we're going to do that together. We're going to pray for those people when we gather together on Wednesday night. Okay, does that make sense? Everybody got it? All right. Any questions? Kurt, John, would you come on up? We'll close in worship. We're switching that around a bit, so we're going to send out an email, but we're going to all gather together on Wednesday night here at the church, and then one of those nights we're leaving open for home groups to kind of gather, so your home group leader will tell you more about that. But Victor's going to send an email out to tell you more about that. Okay, I am excited, you guys. I'm excited to be back together here on Wednesday night with you to seek the Lord. So let's go ahead and stand up. We're gonna close in prayer. I'm sorry, close in worship tonight, and then we'll gather again next Wednesday.